This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we're focusing on your health. And we're visiting with some friends from Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Cardiologist Dr. Peter Robertson is with us. He is a part of St. Thomas Heart. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you with us on this 4th of July week, just a few days away. And I understand you specialize in electrophysiology and congestive heart failure. Before we jump into that subject, let me ask you, what is electrophysiology? Because there may be one or two people who don't know all the ins and outs of that, and I'm one of them.
Electrophysiology is the study of heart rhythm disorders. For some people, they may have difficulty with their heart racing for one reason or another, and there are other people who may have difficulty with significantly slow heartbeats. So if you thought of your heart as a house, I'm the electrician for the heart.
Now, is one problem better for you to have than the other, a slow heartbeat or a fast heartbeat, or are both of those ones that need to be controlled?
Both slow and fast heart rhythms can come in either severe, worrisome types or types that are more of a nuisance, but nothing that's necessarily dangerous. So one is not inherently better than the other. It just depends on the particular details of the patient's individual problem.
Now, let's look at congestive heart failure. Is that sort of a broad term? Does anyone with heart problems, do they have congestive heart failure, or is this a specific problem?
You're correct that it is a very broad term. It is a term that often is very frightening for patients to hear, because I think most people hear it and assume that it means their heart is just going to stop working at any second. And it's not quite as dire as that. Congestive heart failure is a term that really refers to a set of symptoms a patient can develop, generally shortness of breath, or fatigue, swelling in the legs, that is due to the heart not working efficiently as a pump. There are many different reasons that people can get congestive heart failure. In some cases, the pumping function of the heart becomes weak. In other cases, the heart wall muscle is just very stiff. In other people, it's a heart valve problem or severely elevated blood pressure that causes the heart to pump inefficiently. So there are many different ways that people can have a pumping problem that can lead to the symptoms that physicians would refer to as congestive heart failure.
Should we use that word failure in here, or is this congestive heart disease? I mean, failure sounds like, whoops, I waited too long.
It does, and there is some discussion within the kind of scientific community as to whether or not that's the best term to use, because in translating what it means to us as physicians to what the lay public may think it means, that there is that intimidation factor of the term failure. But for whatever reason, that was the term coined long ago, and it has stuck. And I think now we just understand it a lot better than we did, say, 200 years ago. But the term is stuck in the medical literature and stuck in the minds of patients and mm-hmm. physicians. So I think the burden really is on physicians when we are counseling patients with congestive heart failure to really explain what it means for that patient, why they have congestive heart failure, and so that if we are giving someone that diagnosis, we also need to give them the information so that it is not as intimidating it will still be a serious diagnosis for that patient and their family. But I think we need to try to bring some understanding so that the fear surrounding that term failure can be diffused as much as possible.
I can really get personal on this issue here, because it was St. Thomas Heart that probably is why I'm still here today. It was about this time last year, a few weeks earlier, I'd been in New Orleans and noticed where whenever I needed to go somewhere quickly, or at least the pace that everybody around me was going, I started having a tightness in my stomach. It was not in the chest. It was right there in the diaphragm of your stomach. And so I slowed down, and the problem went away. And I'd had this problem once in a while exercising here, but didn't think that much about it. Thought it was the exercise machine I was on, and went to another one. So to make a long story short, the minute I got back, called my family physician, and he did a stress test on me, and within the next day had me in front of one of your physicians at St. Thomas Heart, Britt Miaton, and had me lined up for a stent. They had me in there within, I think, 48 hours or so, and thought that it was going to be a quickie, but it turned out that I needed a triple bypass instead, which was not a quickie. But it all worked out well. Didn't have the whole thing is that I want to get across to people. I did not have a heart attack, so that's good news. But secondly, these things can creep up on you, and you don't realize that you're having these problems. And it was not a horrifying, painful event, but it could have been fatal, I guess, if I had ignored that.
Yeah, you did exactly the right thing of paying attention to what your body was trying to tell you.
I should have done it earlier, though. I shouldn't say I ignored it for 6 months.
Well, all you can do is all you can do. And when people begin to notice that they can't complete activities that a month ago or 6 months ago were simple for them, those are symptoms that need to get evaluated quickly. While people will occasionally say, well, I'm not as young as I used to be, that's something that people see a decline in, you know, from aging, you know, decade to decade, not month to month. So when people have kind of a rapid change in their exertional tolerance, their ability to complete their normal daily activities, that's something that really warrants some evaluation by their primary provider or other physicians they see promptly, because things like heart disease or lung disease may be behind what's causing that.
Is heart disease still the number one killer in America?
Yeah, heart disease is still overwhelmingly the number one killer of Americans, particularly if you look at not only heart attack, but also arrhythmias, and then if you just think in a bit more broadly in terms of all vascular disease, you then bring stroke into that. And so between heart attack, arrhythmia, and stroke, it's an enormous percentage of diseases. Heart attacks alone kill far more people than pretty much all cancers combined.
And yet everybody's worried about cancer. And I guess why do we not think about heart disease?
I think in some ways people think of heart disease as more something that comes up when people are older, whereas we've all probably known one or two people who were struck with cancer at a very young age. I think people have oftentimes thought of heart disease as something you can only get if you're smoking a lot, not exercising, and so that if you do the right things, that you're, you know, essentially immune from heart disease, whereas a lot of times people we know with cancer just seems to kind of strike them out of the blue, because the majority of cancers don't have quite as definable a lifestyle trigger, quite like lung cancer and smoking. But we have seen more and more some coronary disease even in younger people lately. So it hits all ages, all genders, and while there are certainly many lifestyle things that can increase your risk of developing heart disease, there are also the occasional people who have no risk factors of their own fault, but maybe due to bad family history, can get coronary disease or other heart problems at a very early age.
Are there warning signs that people really will notice along the way?
Many people do get some very definable warning signs. The most classic one is the, chest pain, people may use the term an elephant sitting on their chest. Other people, such as yourself, the where they feel their discomfort may be lower down in the abdomen. Some people feel it in the neck or their arms, even into their back. Many people will give some sort of description of physical activity just being difficult to complete for one reason or another, either a sense of breathlessness, a sense of fatigue, or breaking out in a sweat from a level of exertion that a month ago or 6 months ago was no problem for them.
It's amazing how quickly you recuperate from serious surgery these days. We could have gone back 10, 20 years ago, and I guess I would have been out of the picture for 6 months or so. Is that right? But I think I was driving within maybe a month, something like that.
I think we have gotten much better at learning how to get people through their recovery realizing that things like wound care, like physical therapy, like cardiovascular rehabilitation are very important parts of completing someone's recovery. And I think we are much more aggressive in those aspects of people's care than we may have been 20 years ago.
I know non-invasive surgery has reduced that problem quite a bit with other diseases. I have a friend who, I guess a few weeks ago, had some pretty serious back surgery. And I was shocked to see him about 3 weeks later walking around as if nothing had gone wrong. It's not quite that way still with heart disease. You still are pretty invasive, I guess you could say. You still cut open the chest and what have you. Are we getting close to a time when that can be non-invasive?
We are closer, certainly, than we were, say, 20 or 30 years ago. The technology of angioplasty or stenting was a very large leap forward in the being able to treat many people's coronary disease in a less invasive way. It doesn't involve an incision or opening up the chest cavity. We can just go in through one of the arteries in the arm or the leg to deploy a stent into the heart. There are some surgical approaches that have been pioneered in the last 10 years or so that are less invasive than the traditional bypass surgery that involved completely opening the chest. There are some people working on robotic surgery as a possibility for bypass surgery. There are centers working on a surgical approach where surgeons and cardiologists collaborate, and so some vessels may be bypassed surgically, but other vessels may be stented, all as part of one procedure. So there are a lot of people trying to figure out less invasive ways to give people the same benefits of the traditional bypass that may have been done 30 years ago.
And of course, I think one thing people need to be comfortable with is that we have a phenomenal facility right here with Middle Tennessee Medical Center and St. Thomas Heart and all of the St. Thomas Heart locations, because you work together sort of as a family of, whatever need there might be for the particular person, they will get the best. You just can't get better than the best.
Yeah, and I think the key aspect is the communication between facilities just communication between caregivers and physicians, that if information can be transmitted rapidly and you can get patients cared for in the manner they want promptly, that gets people, you know, very, very good care for serious illnesses as quickly as possible.
Now, when we look at heart problems or wanting to avoid heart problems, I guess that's really what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to avoid this problem. Are there some things that we should do all through our life that would reduce our risk of heart disease?
Certainly. The first thing on that list in bold type capital letters is don't smoke or use other tobacco products. There's a very clear association with the use of tobacco products and coronary disease risk. Similarly, there are other substances that can give people a very high lifetime risk of having coronary disease. Illicit drugs such as cocaine or methamphetamine can accelerate the formation of coronary artery disease. I have seen people in their 30s who maybe in their teens or early 20s pursued recreational drug use and maybe after only, you know, 2 years got off of it, but 10 years later had horrible coronary disease just because of the damage that was done to the vessels when they were 20 years old. Drinking alcohol to excess at the level that we would consider alcoholism can damage the pumping function of the heart. So that is again kind of a lifetime decision that people can work on even from an early age. And then diet, exercise, and weight maintenance are other things that are very important because the habits people have as teenagers and young adults generally will carry on with them through the rest of their adult lives. And so setting the habit early of trying to maintain a good diet, trying to keep yourself at a relatively healthy weight, and staying active with physical exertion and exercise are going to be very important to trying to prevent heart disease in the long term.
So in other words, that down-home Southern cooking that we've been exposed to all of our life, that can be damaging to our health.
Yeah, in large amounts and eaten consistently, it's not the best diet for the heart. You know, I think most things are still allowable in moderation, but people have to educate themselves as to what a moderate amount of a certain food would be. If you look at the typical American diet, many people have a whole lot of difficulty managing simple portions of what should come with a meal. If you look at any American restaurant and the amount of food they put on the plate, it is far beyond what a nutritionist would tell you was an actual healthy size for a meal. And so I think people focusing on, you know, not only eating the correct things, but eating them in the correct amounts will be very helpful as people try to maintain their weight and eat the things that hopefully will contribute to keeping healthy levels of cholesterol and healthy blood pressure levels.
Now here comes the shocker. Yeah, we've had this on before, but I don't think we can say it too often. You're saying a healthy portion at your meals. For example, on meat, what is a normal portion? What should your body have?
Most nutritional references will define a serving of meat as somewhere between 3 and 5 ounces. People will either use the reference as the palm of your hand as a general guideline for size or a rather large deck of playing cards. None of those dimensions fits at all with the picture of the enormous steak that you get at the restaurant.
Hey, that's what was going through my mind, yeah.
So it really requires people to rethink the typical meal. On the upside, it can also help people stretch their dollars a little bit, and that you know, for a restaurant meal, you can plan on taking half of it home because they probably give you twice as much food as your body actually needs.
Or split it with your spouse there. And I've seen a lot of people are doing that these days. Put it in your mind, you're not doing this for economy. You're doing it for your health. Because if you have a 12-ounce steak and you're supposed to have 3 to 5 ounces, that's
an easy split.
893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. We're going to check on the traffic and weather the next segment. the one coming up. That's where we open up the phone lines. And if you want to avoid having heart problems, maybe you have the problem already in your family and you're concerned about it. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. Visiting with us this morning, cardiologist Dr. Peter Robertson from Middle Tennessee Medical Center in St. Thomas Heart. 893-1450. Dial quickly.
I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I built my life around you. But time makes you bolder, children get older, I'm getting older too.
We're Middle Tennessee's home for the Atlanta Braves. WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Ford of Murfreesboro is the number one volume dealer in Middle Tennessee. See the brand new Ford Fusion Hybrid today. The Fusion has an electric motor powered by an innovative nickel metal hydride battery for reliable service that won't leave you stranded. The Fusion comes with a 2.5-liter Duratec i4 engine or your choice of two powerful V6 engines. Ford of Murfreesboro is on Broad Street at the Northfield intersection, online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. At Bell Jewelers, we buy directly from our diamond source in Israel. Our long-standing relationship with our diamond cutter means we get to select from the best offerings first and pass the savings on to our customers. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond. Stop in soon and see for yourself.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Look up in the sky. There it is. The tallest tower in Murfreesboro. This is WGNS, FM, AM, and worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Quality automotive repair and diagnostics with service you can trust. Nationwide guarantee. Call 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair. I'm Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning once again. We've got one accident in the clearing stages, South Rutherford Boulevard at South Church Street. Should be out of the way by now. If not, it's going to be out of the way in the next few minutes. We've also got I-24 at 96, Broad and Memorial, I-24 at 231 with lots of congestion this morning. As you make your way out of Midtown, we've got I-24 and the Bell Road exit, I-24 at the Sylvan Evans Bridge downtown, getting very busy. Las Palmas Mexican Restaurant's been voted the best Mexican restaurant since 1990. Stop by for lunch or dinner online at LasPalmasMXRest.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
For the forecast area today, we do have a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms early, then redeveloping late. We will see some sunshine with a warm high near 100 degrees. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feluber. Currently, it's 82.
This is Freedom Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, and we have hot, delicious Otis Spunkmeyer cookies every day. Come and see us, First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, and home of Otis Spunkmeyer hot, delicious cookies.
He's optimistic and hopeful about the future of Rutherford County. He's Truman Jones. Hear the Truman Show weekdays at 2, right here on WGNS AM and FM.
Above a lonely sky.
And if you haven't heard, the Murfreesboro City Council met in a special call session this morning, about an hour ago, as a matter of fact, and they decided to eliminate fireworks in the city of Murfreesboro on the 4th of July. No individual shooting of fireworks. It is against the law this year due to the drought condition and the chance of fire. There will be the public fireworks display over at McKnight Park right next to SportsCom. And that's going to be Wednesday night, the 4th of July. The symphony plays at 8 o'clock and the fireworks at 9. Once again, the special ruling from the Murfreesboro City Council just about an hour ago. No fireworks in Murfreesboro this year. Sorry about that, but I think common sense will tell you that's the right way to go. No fireworks. We've already had some fires that have broken out here in the community. I mean, we don't have to go to Colorado to find this problem as a real problem. There was a fire in the Blackman community at a farm, and this was just last week, brought on by the drought conditions. Alrighty, 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. We're talking about your good health right now and an opportunity to make sure that you stay healthy. 893-1450, we're focusing this morning on heart disease, the number one killer in America, still the number one killer. And visiting with us, cardiologist from Middle Tennessee Medical Center, Dr. Peter Robertson. He is a part of their St. Thomas Heart. 893-1450. And you say this is predominant. I mean, not just a little bit the main killer in America, but far and above all other diseases.
Yeah, by a wide margin, cardiovascular disease is the major cause of mortality in Americans. And while we have made some great strides in the treatments of coronary disease and the treatments of heart failure, the overall death rate, if you will, from Americans is still dominantly from cardiovascular diseases.
Let's go to the phones. Our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. We're talking about you. We're talking about heart disease. And we're talking about ways to avoid being a victim of heart disease. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
All right. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering, you hear of a lot of cases where people have heart attacks during marathons. I was wondering, does a lot of those, they have heart disease and maybe don't realize it, or the heart can't take all the high impact at one time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think all of us have wondered that. Somebody who's out running a marathon didn't realize they had any problem and they have a heart attack.
For the people who die during marathons, there are probably three different reasons that it tends to come up. One is that they may have had some underlying artery blockages that they weren't aware of, and that when they were running shorter distances, it may not have been an issue, but when they asked their body to put up with a 26-mile run, that was kind of more than they could withstand. The other two things that we will sometimes see in marathon runners, some of them, because they train so much with their running, they can get overly thick heart muscle, similar to how some of the basketball players who have collapsed and died in past couple of years, that can develop in runners as well. It's a condition called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and some of those people can suffer fatal cardiac arrest during running. The last thing that we probably see as a source of death in runners, that just with the length of time they're exerting themselves, and particularly under hotter circumstances, they're at higher risk to get either imbalances in the electrolytes in the blood or just heat stroke, depending on how hot it is. And so it for people who are pursuing long-distance running or heavy levels of exertion, it just kind of brings us back to the point of paying attention to your body, and that the kind of the old idea of pushing through the pain when you're working out, sometimes pain is your body's way of protecting you from yourself. Mm-hmm. And so if you start to feel something that you haven't felt before in one of your runs, sometimes the wise thing to do is rather than pushing through that, to back off and first and foremost make sure you're safe.
You mentioned one thing that I thought was really interesting and caught my attention anyway, about you had talked earlier about eating in moderation, and if you drink alcohol, mm-hmm. do that in moderation, do everything in moderation. And now you've said that someone who exercises too much, like a professional athlete, and you build up that heart muscle, that could be a negative too. So are you saying exercise in moderation?
For most people, any level of exercise that they could pursue, the heart's going to be just fine with. I think the degree to which a professional athlete or a top-tier marathoner, the degree to which those people exercise and train their body is so far off the radar compared to what the average person is pursuing. Somebody that the lay people would consider kind of an avid athlete or an avid runner. That might be somebody who runs 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. You know, a professional athlete, a professional basketball player, a professional marathoner. Many of those people are doing high-grade aerobic exercise 6 or 8 hours a day. It is unusual for people to get this overly thick heart muscle, and it's kind of a rare way that some people's heart can respond to training at that level of exercise. But it does happen occasionally in some people, and so the warning signs for people in that instance are dizzy spells or passing out spells while you're exercising, and then again the development of shortness of breath or fatigue that just seems way out of proportion to your normal exertional tolerance.
So to get to the dangerous level, you would almost have to not have a job. You couldn't work on a regular basis because it's going to take those hours.
Yeah, the vast majority of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy we see in athletes is in people who are really pursuing this at a very high level, several hours a day, at probably we see it more within the professional or college ranks, that level of dedication to the sport. We can occasionally see it in high school athletes as well. Occasionally people will get this really without a background of intense athletic training. There are genetic factors that have some play in this, and I think the worse your genes are for this, the more likely you might be to develop it. But then there are other people that for one reason or another never develop it, despite exercising quite avidly.
There's one thing I think we really need to touch on also, because we're all wanting to preserve our good health as long as we possibly can, and the new facility at Middle Tennessee Medical Center makes that so, well, I won't say easy, because you have to work at it. You have to dedicate yourself to all of these things, checking with your doctor on a regular basis, being sure that you're healthy. But you have put everything, all the tools that are needed, right there at that one campus on Medical Center Parkway. Can you share some of those areas with us?
Yeah, we're very excited about the opportunities the new campus brings to our patients. We have completed the initial stages of building in terms of the hospital property and the surrounding office spaces, and we now are able to offer, in addition to the hospital services, all of our clinics are on the campus, as well as all of our diagnostic testing for things like ultrasounds of the heart or stress testing. And then we also have the wellness center that provides our cardiac and pulmonary rehabilitation program, literally right across the street or right across the hall from the cardiology clinic. So people in a very consolidated space can have all of the cardiac resources available to them to try to pursue their cardiac health.
And I can personally tell you that the Wellness Center is a phenomenal service. For several years, many years, before I needed the rehab services, I was going on a regular basis to the Wellness Center just because I knew it was the thing I needed to do, because I'd had a bout with weight all my life, and exercise was an ingredient that I needed, and the Wellness Center was a comfortable place to do it in. After I had the triple heart bypass last June, the Wellness Center opened a whole new era for me, a whole new, I think it was three months perhaps, a three-month span of attention that I had never seen before. If you think that people are watching you closely to be sure that you are okay and not hurting yourself, that has a whole different meaning when you go to the rehabilitation part at the Wellness Center. They monitor you with a heart monitor every time you're in there. I mean, and they're serious about this. They watch you, and they had me doing things that were, I guess it felt more intense than what I had been doing on my own in the other side of the Wellness Center. But they were more specific to the needs I had. And it really gave you a good feeling, knowing that these professionals were really caring for you. And that word caring, wherever I was in the hospital, I underlined the word caring. You just can't say enough about that.
Well, our cardiac rehab professionals are just superb. They are wonderful people who are up to date on their field and the immense benefit that they can offer to patients who are either recovering from a heart attack or recovering from bypass surgery. One of the big leaps forward in the last 15 to 20 years has been our understanding of how much benefit cardiac rehab can do to the heart. It makes sense if you think of an athlete who might injure a knee that they need to rehabilitate their knee and get back the strength after they've had an operation. The heart is a muscle, just like any other large muscle in the body, and if it has been injured or if it has been put through a surgery, some rehabilitation may do enormous good. There are many studies that show benefits of cardiac rehabilitation that really argue that it is as important as the medicines we have people on to retrain the heart or strengthen the heart during that time of its recovery. And so it is really a wonderful option to be able to have available to people here in the county that as they're recovering from a heart ailment, that we can strengthen it back up in a setting where people can be observed from a medical standpoint. And not only do they get the benefit to the heart, but they also regain a little bit of confidence of how well they can exercise and push themselves. Because a lot of people, after they've had a bypass surgery or after they've had a heart attack, may feel very insecure about trying to go back out and exercise. And so this program provides kind of a transition back to the real world of figuring out what your body can do, how far you can push yourself, in a setting when you have trained medical staff watching you and, literally, connected to technology that watches every single beat of your heart.
And also, don't worry about trying to overdo things, because you go into the hospital oftentimes feeling, in my case, it was a tightness in the chest. But I was getting around fine. I was, prior to going to New Orleans, I was exercising 3 to 4 days a week there at the Wellness Center. No problem at all. Just nothing was a mountain to climb. And then after that triple bypass, that sort of slows you down a little bit. after that, it seemed like the very first day that I was in a regular room out of ICU, they had me on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I can do that. And then I suddenly realized it was a challenge to walk from the bed about, 500 or 600 mm-hmm. feet, however far away this treadmill was. It was down the hall. But that was a challenge getting there, and I thought, what has happened here? But within a matter of a week or so, things were getting back more on a normal level. But it takes a while.
Yeah.
And I think our society is, we want it now. And no matter what age you are, you just have to think, I'm going to get there. And the big thing is to follow the advice of the people who are there working with you, and they are really very helpful at all of your every part of St. Thomas Heart. So just listen closely to those folks. Our number is 893-1450. We're talking about heart health this morning, and we're talking about that because this weather that we're having is not conducive to a lot of vigorous activities, and some of the heat can bring on related cardiovascular problems. In fact, we're going to look a little bit more about that in just a moment. I mean, we have just gone through a period of record-breaking temperatures, 104, 105, 106. Thank goodness I did hear Mandy say a chance of rain in the forecast. Let's hope that we're in that area that gets that chance of rain. We'll be right back.
Tell her I'm in Aspen, in a cabin, finding myself again. Tell her that I'm happy.
some of you said, we can't hear you. We fixed that. Now with more power on FM 100.5 and increased streaming at WGNSradio.com.
People ask me, how does Perry Bell sell first quality name brand furniture about half price every day at Bell Furniture? He's learned that if you buy in trailer truckload quantities, you save money. And then instead of making the displays look like a decorator magazine, he puts it all in one big room. That saves money too. Plus, it's only Perry Bell and Linda Ferris there. The overhead is down. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
For the forecast area today, we do have a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms early, then redeveloping late. We will see some sunshine with a warm high near 100 degrees. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Currently, it's 82.
And I want to say good morning to a new sponsor here on WGNS, Unix Cuts and Spa. They're right here in town on the corner of Thompson Lane and Medical Center Parkway. They're right next to AT&T. They invite you to take advantage of their specials on their spa area. $19.95 for a spa pedicure or $7.95 for an eyebrows wax. And 20% off all single process hair coloring with the deep conditioning. I mean deep conditioning. Gift certificates are also available. There will be door prizes daily all the way through tomorrow night. Why don't you stop by Unix Cuts and Spa? They're at the corner of Thompson Lane and Medical Center Parkway, right next to AT&T. And yes, they are a family business.
This is Clark Howard. Join me Monday through Saturday middays on WGNS as we discuss ways you can save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off.
This was not your dream.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We're focusing on your heart this morning. 893-1450. If you have any heart questions, give us a call. 893-1450. 893-1450. And visiting with us from Middle Tennessee Medical Center, cardiologist Dr. Peter Robertson, a part of the St. Thomas Heart Division there. 893-1450. Obviously, these temperatures we've been having, 104, 105, 106, those are out of the ordinary. Are there any things we need to do during these extreme hot days to reduce heart problems, or does that impact heart problems?
I think it has an indirect impact on heart trouble. For people who already have heart disease, being exposed to temperatures like this can cause their health to deteriorate fairly quickly. The risk of heat stroke in people who are kind of older or already have many medical problems, it can probably develop more quickly in that population of patients than, you know, say young healthy patients. So I think people need to have a very healthy respect for the danger that can come from prolonged exposure to temperatures like we've been seeing in the past couple of days. The other thing we can see happen very quickly in temperatures like this is people can become dehydrated just because they're perspiring so much more than at normal temperatures. And when people can become dehydrated, their kidney function can be impaired. And for people who are on lots of medicines, it's easy for certain medicines to become toxic in your system if your kidneys are not working well. So there are a lot of reasons that in particular the people who do have health problems really need to try to stay inside, stay cool around times when we are facing such record temperatures.
Let's go to the phones again. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Dr. Peter Robertson. How are you today?
Fine, thanks. Yes, a question for the doctor. Someone in their 60s and 70s, unless they have some kind of repeated symptoms, is the normal EKG every 2 or 3 years sufficient for testing, or should they try something more intensive than the EKG that's been around for a long time?
For most people who are in their 60s and 70s and relatively healthy, a plan of preventative care that we would normally recommend would be seeing a primary care provider once a year. I think most people would try to check an EKG every 2 to 3 years, but really keeping track of blood pressure, cholesterol, screening for diabetes, the things that put you at risk for heart disease, are probably actually going to be more important than checking an EKG in someone who has no symptoms. For people who are in middle age and still relatively healthy, the way we aim to prevent coronary disease or other heart problems is managing the things that we know contribute to those. So things like cholesterol, blood pressure, weight, making sure that diabetes, if it's present, is treated correctly, keeping people exercising frequently and trying to maintain a healthy weight. And all of those are things that a good primary care provider should be doing on a regular basis.
Did that answer your question? I guess it did. Yep. Okay. 893-1450 is our phone number, and we're looking at your heart, your healthy heart, hopefully. And if it's not healthy, I guess it's early detection. The earlier, the better. That's probably the secret to any form of medical procedure.
I think so. For our patients who have not yet developed disease, we want to be able to detect early if they have risk factors that may put them at risk, so that we can get their cholesterol under adequate control, we can control blood pressure, control diabetes, and other things that may contribute. For people who are developing problems, for the people who start having chest pain, for the people who start having shortness of breath, in those people, we want them to come get treated early so that we can either intervene with treatment before they've had a heart attack, or if they are in the midst of a heart attack, we want them to come immediately for evaluation so we can interrupt the heart attack in its early stages rather than they're waiting until the heart attack has almost completed itself and the muscle of the heart has been damaged severely.
Now, you hear so much about people should take a baby aspirin each day. What does that do? Why is that important?
One of the properties of aspirin is that it inhibits the platelets of blood from forming into blood clots. We have discovered that many people who have heart attacks, it's because a blood clot forms inside one of the coronary arteries, and that blood clot stops up the flow to that part of the heart muscle. Having an aspirin on board and preventing platelets from clumping together quite so easily reduces people's risk of having a heart attack.
We want to thank you for taking your time to share with us today some of the great things that are happening, and I underline great things because we are so fortunate to have such a facility as Middle Tennessee Medical Center right here in Murfreesboro. I mean, this makes it easy not only to get the best care and treatment, but it makes it easier for our families. And if our families are with us during that rehabilitation period, that makes it easier on all of us and gives us that encouragement that is part of healing, I guess, really. But thank you, Dr. Peter Robertson, cardiologist, for taking your time to share with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Now, tomorrow at this time, we're going to have Rutherford County Juvenile Court Judge Donna Scott Davenport. She, along with Susan McGoggin, I believe I pronounced that correctly, and Casey Davis, will be here to talk about the court-appointed special advocate program. That'll be tomorrow. Have a great day.